How's everybody doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm going to pray and we're going to get going. Father, I thank you for all of your sons and daughters in this room. And I thank you that you are here with us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are present. I thank you that you're in this room and that you're going to do what you do. And so the Bible says that you're the one that guides us into all truth. You're the one that teaches us all things. And you make the Bible come alive to us, and you help us understand things. So we welcome your ministry tonight, that you would just show us things we haven't seen before. Any areas where there has been confusion, I pray that you bring clarity. We just pray for revelation. Also, I just release your peace in this room, that tonight is just peaceful and enjoyable. And that I just declare by faith that our minds are open. And I would just invite everybody in here just individually, just however you want to, just to yourself, in your mind, or however, just tell the Holy Spirit that He's welcome to teach you tonight. And you just invite Him to show you some stuff. Just welcome Him and just acknowledge His presence inside of you and also around you in this room. And Lord, as we read your word tonight, your promise in Mark chapter 4 is that your word is like seed. And when it finds good soil, it produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that good soil is in the hearts of these people in this room and in mine as well. So, Father, I thank you that your word is going to take root in our hearts and is going to produce a return 30, 60, 100 fold. And we bless you, Lord, and we thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, last week I introduced the whole class, Spirit-Filled Living, talking about, I must take about 2 minutes of review. If you weren't here last time, I recorded the class, and I would encourage you to listen to it, go back and listen to it, because that sets up a lot of things that we're going to be talking about. If you weren't here, that's not going to be a problem. Tonight's, all of these nights stand alone, but I think if you have it all combined, it helps give some depth to it. But last week I talked about how even though Jesus is God, and God, He's God eternal, that when He came to earth 2,000 years ago, he set aside His rights to all of His God power and took on Himself the limits of what it means to be a human being. And we gave a couple of examples of that, but just for one, for example, is that God is everywhere at the same time. God is everywhere, and I don't have to travel anywhere to talk to God. God is always all around us, right? Like, we don't have to take a bus to Cincinnati because Jesus is in Cincinnati if we want to say a prayer to Him. But when Jesus was on the earth, He wasn't using that. Because if you wanted to see Him, you had to go to the town He was in. So even though Jesus eternally is omnipresent everywhere at once, when He came to earth and went in and became a human inside of a human body, He laid aside those kind of powers. Because what He wanted to do was come here as one of the things He wanted to do was be our example and to show us what it looks like when a human being cooperates with the Spirit of God, what can happen. And it tells us in Luke chapter 3 and the beginning of Luke chapter 4 that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, that the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven from the Father saying, "Behold, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased." And from that day forward, the language in the Bible starts talking about how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And so we see this cooperation between Jesus as a representative of us, cooperating with the Spirit of God. And so because of that principle right there, we can look at the life of Jesus as our example. And so that the way that Jesus operated, that's what we are going to aspire to. We want to do what Jesus would do, just like that bracelet says, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would cooperate with the Holy Spirit and see the power of God manifest around Him. So that's what our right, that's our privilege, that's God's will for all of us. That His will can get expressed in us and through us as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit to do things that are impossible. Okay? So that's just an overview of this whole class. And tonight I'm going to be drilling down on one specific area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is called the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now before I get into the gifts, there was an area of confusion I had for a long time in my life. And it was rooted in this thing I'm about to say, is that I lumped all of the stuff the Holy Spirit did into one category, and I assumed all of it worked the same way. And if you approach the things of the Spirit like that, you're going to find that the Holy Spirit doesn't fit in your box. Like, the limits that I put on Him, he doesn't have any limits. Okay? And so there's different things that the Holy Spirit does, and He does them in different ways. And I'm going to give a couple of examples of that. So one of the things that He does is that when someone puts their faith in Jesus as their Savior and they receive eternal life, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of us and He begins to live inside of us. And while He's living inside of us throughout our life, He starts changing us from the inside out to be more like God on the outside. And we see, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5, there's something called the fruit of the Spirit that He puts on the inside of us. Everybody familiar with the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22, I believe. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and there's nine of them. And so one of the things the Holy Spirit is doing is over our lives, as we learn to cooperate with Him and learn to yield to His leading, that this fruit that He's deposited on the inside of us is going to start being displayed on the outside of us for other people to see. Everybody familiar with this? So that's the way the fruit of the Spirit works. The fruit of the Spirit is inside of all of you. And as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit throughout your life, the fruit of the Spirit will begin to be displayed on the outside of you more and more often through your behavior. Okay? So that's one thing that He does. But that's not how everything works. Okay? Another thing the Holy Spirit does. So in the Old Testament, it would tell us that the Holy Spirit would come upon someone for them to accomplish something, and then He would lift back off of them. So in the Old Testament, nobody had the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Okay? I'm trying to illustrate that He doesn't do everything the same way. So when you think about this fact, Moses would have the Holy Spirit come upon him, but then lift back off of him. And Elijah the prophet, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and he would do whatever he was supposed to do, and then the Holy Spirit would come back off of him. Or David, King David, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and then lift back off of him. And that's why David would pray in the Psalms, "Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me." Like, he enjoyed having the Holy Spirit on him. But see, if you're saved, you don't have any business saying anything like that, because the Holy Spirit never leaves you because He lives inside of you. Okay? So you are never going to have the Holy Spirit leave you. So we don't need to pray, "Holy Spirit, don't leave us." Our prayer is, "Thank you that you live in us and you'll never leave us or forsake us." Okay? So those are two different things the Holy Spirit does, and there's lots of other ones. And so tonight, the one I'm going to talk about is something called the gifts of the Spirit. And when we talk about gifts that God gives us, I group those into three main general categories. And I group them this way because even among these, they operate differently. So one of them is the, we call these the manifestation gifts, and that's what our topic is tonight. They're the manifestation gifts. Another one is called the motivational gifts. And then the third general category is called the ministry gifts. And I'm going to talk briefly about each of these, but all of tonight is going to be about these. Okay. So let me start with the manifestation gifts. The manifestation gifts that we're going to be talking about tonight is when the Holy Spirit comes up in you temporarily. He gives you a temporary burst of power or ability to meet a need or overcome an obstacle. Okay? So you wouldn't think of this as like a skill. You would think of if anyone ever played video games, it's like you get a power up. Like you get a temporary ability boost, a temporary ability you don't normally have that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. The motivational gifts are parts of the ways that God has designed us, and these end up being part of our personality or part of our character. And these are found in Romans chapter 12. And these are things like giving or leadership, administration, teaching. Okay? Now, these are a part of you, and as you mature in your relationship with the Lord, you learn how to operate in these better. A couple of examples of this. One of the motivational gifts is giving. Another one is mercy or compassion. But let's say giving. That's one of my wife's gifts that God designed her with. And she's born with that. And so she is always wanting to be generous to people and give to things and give money to people and buy people stuff. And so that's one of the ways that God uses her to display that aspect of God's character, because God is generous. Okay? And so he uses my wife to display part of his generous nature, or part of his giving, part of his character. Another one of the motivational gifts is teaching. And so this is one of the ones that I have. And so the way I look at the world is that I'm always wanting to either learn something new or explain what I just learned to someone else. And I am drawn to things where I can research. And to me, research is relaxing. And some people laugh when I say that. But to me, if I can just sit down and relax, I don't want to watch TV. I want to research something. Okay? That's just how I didn't ask for that. That's just how I am. That's one of these motivational gifts. It's part of who you are. The last one is the ministry gifts. And these are found in Ephesians 4:11. And it says, when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And he gave these gifts to the church. He gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And these are not gifts given to people. These are people that are given to the church. And they are called by God to equip the church for the work of the ministry, is what it tells us in that passage. Okay? And so these are people that God has designed to function kind of like a personal trainer. The personal trainer's job is not to get you to come watch them work out, although that would be pretty awesome. The personal trainer is to get you to work out and show you what you can do and then send you out to do it. So the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher all fall into that. And those people are born like that. That's not. If you ask anyone that's one of those, they didn't ask God for that. They found out that God made them that way. Okay? All right, so let's come back to the manifestation gifts. So these are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read the whole passage, and then I'm going to come back and focus on a couple of the words that help us understand this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1. So actually some background on 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written to the church at Corinth to correct a bunch of mess they were having. They were really not doing it right, and that's an understatement. In this letter, he has to correct them from things like getting drunk on the communion wine. That's in chapter 11. Okay? So don't look at these people like they're advanced in their walk with Christ. They barely know what they're doing. Okay? He also had to rebuke them for they were all suing each other. I think that's in chapter 5. There was even one guy there who was having an affair with his stepmom. So these are the corrections that are found in this letter, okay? And when we get to chapter 12, he starts a new correction. Okay? So he changes his topic right at the beginning of the chapter, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, does anybody in their Bible, the word gifts is in italics? Yes, okay. If the New King James or the King James or those, what that means is the translators added that word in there to help it make sense to us. If you see a word in italics in your Bible, okay? That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it wasn't in the original Greek, and the translators put that in there because they thought that would help us understand it. But the word there is pneumatikos. That's the Greek word. And it means spiritual expressions. Or another way to say it, expressions of the Spirit. Or another way to say it is different ways the Holy Spirit expresses Himself. Okay? So I'm going to read that again with that definition included. Now, concerning the ways the Holy Spirit expresses himself, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, you know that when you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols as you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, just pause right there. He is having to correct them so that they don't think it's okay to say Jesus is cursed. I'm bringing this out to show you that this topic is not for advanced. This is for the brand new. They don't know any better than to call Jesus cursed, and he's having to correct that. Okay? That, and when I say that, that means all of us are eligible for all this. Because at least we know better than to do that. Okay? Y'all with me? Okay. Verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, to another through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right, so that was the list of all nine, and then there's a couple of key words in this whole paragraph that really help this come alive in our understanding, okay? The first one is where he says the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, I think that's verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit. So manifestation means to become detectable to your senses. Manifestation, this is the simplest definition I've ever found for this word. It means to become detectable to your senses. That means something has manifest. Okay? It has become detectable to my sense of feeling, to my sight, my hearing, and my mind. In some way, it has become detectable. Okay? So when we say a manifestation of the Spirit, what we mean is the Holy Spirit is becoming tangible somehow in the moment. The Holy Spirit is expressing him. It's an expression of the Holy Spirit. He's expressing himself in us or among us. And so when a spiritual gift is happening, what you're seeing is not someone's skill. You're seeing the Holy Spirit making himself detectable to us. Okay? Any questions on that right there? If you can grab hold of this, this is going to eliminate so much confusion. Because I've heard gifts of the Spirit taught before, like you have to learn how to do them. Well, you can't learn how to make the Holy Spirit do something. Like if he doesn't manifest, it ain't happening. Like, does that make sense to everybody? So a gift of the Spirit happens when the Holy Spirit wants to do something and he picks somebody or several people and then he makes himself tangible to them and so that they can express what he wants to happen. And in that way, he can guide our meetings. He can help people and bless people or communicate to us in ways that he doesn't normally do. Okay? So that's manifestation of the Spirit. The second word I want to focus on is the word gifts. It says there are many gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. Now, I like to explain this by going back into the root of the Greek, because this really makes this hit home for me. So I'm going to do a little bit of Greek for you. The root word is this word, charis or charis. Does anybody know what that means? Anybody ever heard that word before, charis? The easiest translation is the word grace. Now, what does grace mean? I need everybody to just one at a time. Unmerited favor. That's a very good definition. Another one is undeserved goodwill. Okay? Unmerited favor and undeserved goodwill. Now, I want to dig in on this a little bit because this is a very important part of these gifts. So, charis is the root word of gifts, and it means grace. It means unmerited favor or undeserved goodwill. Okay? Now, for grace to happen, the main condition is that you don't deserve it. If you do deserve it, then grace is the wrong word. Reward or payment or debt. In order for it to be grace, you have to not deserve it. Okay? So another way of saying grace is something good given to someone who deserves something bad. Okay? Now sometimes people will confuse grace with mercy, and they're very close, but there's a key difference. And I like to illustrate that with this analogy. Let's say I'm driving in a 35 mile per hour zone and I'm speeding. I'm going 60. And I get pulled over by a police officer. So I'm guilty and I deserve to get a ticket, right? That's what I deserve. And if he comes up to my car and he says, "Sir, you were going 60 in a 35. But you know what? You can go." That's not grace. That's mercy. Mercy means I don't get what I deserve. I had something bad coming to me and I don't get it. But grace goes beyond that, okay? So grace would be that same scene. I'm pulled over. I'm guilty. I deserve a ticket. And the police officer walks up and he says, "Sir, you're going 60 in a 35. You can go free. I'm not going to give you a ticket. And by the way, here's $1,000. That's grace. I deserve a ticket, but instead I get $1,000. Okay? That's what grace means. That's what you're talking about when you're talking about grace. Someone deserves evil, but they get blessed. So we are all saved by the grace of God. I don't deserve an eternity with Jesus in heaven, but He gave that to me. He gave me something amazing when I deserve something horrible, if you're going to judge by my behavior. All of us in this room, everything we've received from God is always by grace. He gives you stuff free regardless of whether you deserve it or not. He doesn't take whether or not you deserve it into account if it's going to be grace. If you deserve it, you can't have it. Because grace means you don't deserve it. Another way to say this, if you don't deserve it, that's the one thing that makes you eligible. If you don't deserve it, you are a candidate. I do not deserve to operate in the power of God, and that's what makes me eligible. Same with you. Does that make sense to everybody? Some of y'all are looking at me like I have two heads. I know this is not always taught this way, but this is right. No one has ever earned the right to operate in the power of God, ever. If He doesn't give it by grace, it ain't happening. Okay. Now this, if you think about just that right there, anytime you've seen someone in history or even in current day that they seem like God's working miracles through them or something, and then you find out they were cheating on their taxes or doing something like that, the tendency is to go, "Well, that couldn't have been God. That had to be fake." Because we think God only does miracles through people who are doing everything right. That's false. Your inability to pay your taxes right is not going to stop the power of God. Okay? Now, when you are being unwise in your behavior, you're going to cause problems for yourself that God is not doesn't have to put on you. But grace means they are not dependent on my behavior. Okay? And we can look all through the Bible from beginning to end at every human being besides Jesus that God ever used for anything, and you're going to find that none of them are perfect. They're all just as messed up as we are. The three people that wrote most of the Bible are all murderers, for example. Okay? So we're not here to earn something. We're here to receive something that is free. Okay? Okay. Now, when we take this word, charis, and we take this, we add an M-A on the end of it in Greek, that takes this general concept of grace and makes it a specific instance of that grace. So grace in a moment, or when the grace happened. And we usually translate that word in the Bible as gift. Okay? So a gift is a specific instance of unmerited favor happening. A specific instance of something that is undeserved, that's amazing, happening. All right? And then, to make this word plural in the Greek, you add a T-A on the end, and that makes it gifts. Charismata. Charismata. That means free gifts to people that don't deserve them. The only people that can get in line for these are the people that don't deserve them. And I'm in that line. I don't deserve it, but I'm getting in line because they're for me. And I hope you would have the same attitude. Okay, so if we combine these together, these are times where the Holy Spirit makes himself detectable to our senses when we don't deserve it. Okay? Any questions on this? I know we have a wide variety of backgrounds in here, so some of this may be old hat to some of y'all, but some of this may be kind of far out. Any questions? Comments? What do y'all think about that?
So you're saying, you know, that this is way better than Santa Claus, because if you're on the naughty list,
right. Right. Santa Claus is based on your behavior. This is your behavior is not in the math. All right. I like to draw a diagram of how these work before we start looking at them specifically. So this circle right here is going to represent the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is inside of you, but I need to draw him outside of you to draw a flow of information. Okay? But never think of the Holy Spirit as being off somewhere that you need to get him to come visit you. When you want to talk to the Holy Spirit, he's always right here. Always. So don't picture him being off somewhere and we have to call him to come hang out with us. He's always with you. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is there, and here is you. And over here, I'm just going to say others. That can be one or more other people. Okay. And the way the gifts of the Spirit work is, the Holy Spirit is going to give you something that you don't deserve, and then you, in turn, are going to deliver that to someone else who doesn't deserve it. Okay? The Holy Spirit gives you something you don't deserve, and then when you do what He's telling you to do, someone else receives a blessing from God that they don't deserve. Okay? Questions? Yes.
So is it like a one-time gift and you give it away and then you may not see that gift again?
Fantastic. That is exactly right. The gifts of the Spirit are like firecrackers. Once you use it, that one's over. And then he'll give you another one. And he may give you a different one each time. But he has all nine of them inside of you all the time. So when I said the gift, the manifestations of the Spirit is a temporary burst of divine power or ability to meet a need or overcome an obstacle. It means it's a temporary thing. So it's different. Remember how we talked about some of the other gifts are part of your personality. These are not part of your personality. These are temporary. That's why when you try to take a spiritual gift test, if there's a spiritual gift test for these gifts, those things are always inaccurate. Yeah. Now, those can work for the ones that are part of your personality, but for the ones that are like these temporary ones, it doesn't work. Because just because I've operated in the Word of Knowledge 25 times doesn't mean I'm ever going to do it again. Okay? Now, I believe I will, but I don't have a guarantee of that. That's a great question. All right. So I'm going to keep this up here because I'll probably refer back to it. So the first, I like to divide these nine gifts into three groups. And all of this is very general. And I have found when I'm explaining this, or when I'm thinking about it, it's best to be as general as possible and specific as necessary. Because the more technical you try to get with this, you're going to get into some confusion. Because this, again, the Holy Spirit is not going to fit into my spreadsheet. Okay? So when you think about the gifts of the Spirit, it's better to think of them more like a rainbow than a spreadsheet, where they can bleed together. And sometimes you don't know which one it is. Or sometimes there's more than one operating at the same time. So when I'm going to go through the definitions of these. These are not limited to my definitions. These are to give you a way to think about them. Okay? Because I would bet as many people as we have in here, almost everybody in here is operating at least one of these before, whether you knew it or not. And knowing the names of these is not a prerequisite to operate in them. Okay, so the first one, I like to call these the revelatory gifts or the knowing gifts. These are gifts where you know something. Okay, and these are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Okay? I'm going to spend the most time on word of knowledge because that's where I'm going to explain this, these principles, and then those principles apply to all the rest of them. Okay? Word of knowledge, that means the Holy Spirit is telling you some or giving you some information that you have no way of knowing. It's not because you're smart. It's not because you figured something out or you did the research or any other of your experience, anything else. The Holy Spirit's telling you something that you have no way of knowing. Okay? Now, we're going to look at Jesus as our example in the Bible. And we know that when he was a human being, he laid aside his right to be everywhere at the same time. He laid aside his right to know everything. Remember, we talked about that. Because people said, Jesus, tell us the time of the end. He said, I don't know. Only the Father knows that. He didn't know everything, even though he had the right to. So in the Bible, whenever he knew something that a human being couldn't know, it was a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Okay. So everybody remember the story when he met the woman at the well. And he started talking to her and he said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Remember what he said next? He said, you've had five husbands, and so she's been rejected five times, and the man she's with now won't even marry her. Okay? How did he know that? It wasn't through researching genealogy. It was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knew that. Now, when the Holy Spirit told him that, and he expressed it, it was not to shame this woman, because we can look at the outcome, the whole village gets saved. Okay? But the Holy Spirit gave Jesus that information in the moment that he didn't know, and he expressed it, and a whole bunch of people got blessed. So here we go. This is Jesus. The Holy Spirit gave him the information that this lady is not married right now and about her past. He expressed that to her, and a whole bunch of people received a benefit. Does that make sense to everybody? So if you're here on a Sunday, and I'll use Brian as an example. And he's up here and he says there's someone in here that's got something wrong with their neck. Anybody ever heard that in here? That's not because Brian has researched this. It's because the Holy Spirit wants to help somebody. And since Brian has the microphone, he tells Brian. And because of Brian's experience and history with the Holy Spirit, he believes that is the Holy Spirit and he expresses it. And so when that happens, the Holy Spirit has just become tangible among us. It's as if the Holy Spirit was standing on the stage. That's what he would be saying. Does that make sense to everybody? So whenever someone comes up at the front with the word from the Lord, if it's truly from the Lord told them to say that. A couple of weeks, so here's an example from me. This is, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was Easter Sunday. And I'm sitting there and Brian's preaching and then they start singing the music. And I keep having Psalm 103 verses 1, 2, and 3 just coming through my head. And because of my experience with the Holy Spirit, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, I know that he's wanting me to get up and talk about that. Okay? And I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get up in front of everybody. Okay? And so he has this dial on my back that he starts cranking up my heart rate. And I feel like I'm going to explode if I don't go talk. Now, he doesn't have to do that as much to me anymore. I've learned by now he wants to do something. And so I came up and I started saying, they calmed the music down and I started talking about, bless the Lord, all my soul, and do not forget. You remember that? That's Psalm 103. Well, I didn't know this, but when I interrupted them, the next song they were going to sing, the first lines of it is, bless the Lord, all my soul. I didn't know that. And they didn't know I was going to get up and say that. But the Holy Spirit was wanting to bring that home. Okay? That's the kind of adventures you get to go on when you listen to him and you do stuff that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make sense to me to get up here and say that. I would rather just sit back and worship the Lord just like everybody else. Now, afterwards, it's always fun, but in the moment, it can be nerve-wracking because I'm just like all of y'all. Okay? So that's an example of a word of knowledge, right? A word of wisdom is very similar. Except that this is usually where a word of knowledge is informative. A word of wisdom is going to be instructive, usually. Or it's going to be about something coming in the future. Think of all of these as a mustard seed of God's knowledge or a mustard seed of God's wisdom. You're getting a little nugget of what God knows about. So a possible example of word of wisdom in the Bible would be when Jesus told Peter, Peter said, Jesus, we need to pay our taxes. Jesus said, Peter, go down and cast a line, and when you catch a fish, there's going to be a coin in its mouth. That makes total sense, right? No, that makes no sense at all. But sure enough, he did it, and it happened. That's a word of wisdom. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom is beyond our comprehension. My wife was healed out of a wheelchair because of a word of wisdom. We were praying, and the man that was praying for her saw a picture of her touching the mailboxes in his neighborhood. And he told her to get up and go touch those mailboxes. And so she got up, and she could walk about 50 feet, but she walked 4 blocks, touched those mailboxes, and been healed ever since. Now, he did not research that touching mailboxes heals fibromyalgia. Okay? But because of the Holy Spirit, he has a history of cooperating with him. He trusts that that thing that he's receiving is from God, and he acted on it, and look what happened. So again, here's the diagram. The Holy Spirit showed Bill a picture of my wife touching the mailboxes, and he told her that. And she went and did it, and our life has been forever changed. Okay? Now, that same night, after he took her to the front door, he turned around and came back in the room, and he said, you've been praying to get baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Now, he didn't know me, but I had been praying for that for 10 years. Now, how did he know that? That's what I was thinking. How the heck do you know that? Because I didn't understand this. Well, the Holy Spirit told him some information. He told him what I'd been praying for. And so I said, yes, I have. He says, well, get up because you're going to get it right now. And so I did, and I did. And I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and my whole world got turned right side up. And the next thing I know, I look over, my wife is back, and she's healed. That was a crazy night. Did you have something, Skip?
Mm-hmm. You're not walking around, you know, this flowing, I guess, where you're not flowing in the gifts of the manifestation of seeing this.
Yeah.
But God says, boom.
Right. It's in the moment.
So go to the mailbox.
Yes.
And you act in faith and go to the mailbox.
Yes.
And then he turns
Yes. Yep.
And it manifests.
Yes.
So it appears.
And then when you use it, it's over. Yep. That's how it works. Yes. That is I'll have to take that another time. That's a long question. I don't have time to do that justice.
Okay, that's okay.
Yep, that's fine. Yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody else had their hand raised over here? Yep.
Go do it.
Yes. Now that you can't say that.
Okay. I mean, that's
because if he told you to go pray for them, you're not responsible for the outcome. So this is a very important. So this is in this verse. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. It says there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And so another way to say this is there's different. These get expressed different ways through different people. Okay, the ways these are expressed are different, but they're all coming from the same God. Ministry means serving or service. So there's different ways these are served up, but they're all coming from the same Jesus. Then it says there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Another way to say that is that there are diversities of outcomes or effects, but God produces the effects, not us. Okay, so I've had before. Let me give y'all, this is another example. Just because God told you to do something doesn't mean the people are going to like what you're saying. But you're not responsible for what they do with it. If you look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, God would send the prophet to tell everybody, y'all need to turn around because you're about to go in the ditch. And they would say, forget you. And then they would go right in the ditch. But the prophet obeyed God and did it right. Okay, God wants to warn the people, right? Y'all with me? And so the prophet can't come back and feel guilty because nobody listened to him. Okay? And if God tells me to go give a word to somebody and they don't like it, that's not my fault. Okay? Now, I am always, all of us, whenever we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, it always needs to be love as our motive. So this is not a license to be a jerk. But if you obey God and go do it and they don't like it or whatever, that's not your fault. You're not responsible for their reception or their results. Another way to say this is you are responsible for what you put into people, not what you get out of them. Because if I'm responsible for how they receive it, then I'm controlling them. And that is not godly, that's demonic. The devil controls people. God invites people. Okay? So if I have a word and I give it and they don't like it, it's not my job to make them receive it. Okay? Or if God tells me to go pray for somebody and they don't want me to, that's not my fault. Okay? Great, great question. But when you get the information, you act on it, that's the firecracker going off. Okay? Okay, so word of wisdom. Another way to think of this is like if you had a conversation, let's say you had a tax issue and you wanted to talk to an attorney or something like that, or a CPA, you call them and you get a word of wisdom about their situation. Okay? Well, this is a word of wisdom from God about something. Usually about the future or how to solve a problem. Like God tells me how to fix complex computer stuff at my work. He'll tell me the answer. He'll tell me how to fix it. Like he's talking to me and giving me wisdom. Right? Anybody ever had this? God told you where your keys were? Am I the only one that ever lost their keys and prayed? Right? Okay, that's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. So discerning of spirits. This is when the Holy Spirit gives you the temporary ability to detect things going on in the spirit realm. This is where you would be able to know that angels are present. Or that you would sense the presence of something demonic. Or you would know the person that's speaking, they're coming from a wrong spirit or they're coming from a right spirit. Okay? This is not the gift of suspicion, though. Or this is not the gift of paranoia. But this is, the Holy Spirit is showing, letting you see angels in the room. Or there's a demonic activity on this person that God wants them to be free from. Or that this person has been beat down and they need to be ministered to. Something like that, okay? I'll give you an example of this one. We went to visit this little small church out in the country, and this was about maybe 2 months ago. And when we walk in the room, my wife says, "Neil, you're going to have something to say to them." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm visiting." But she had word of wisdom or word of knowledge. I don't know. See, here, who cares what we call it? It's from the Lord. Okay? And so I'm like, "I don't want to. I'm not doing that." And so the music starts, and the guy's playing music, and all of a sudden I see probably there's like 12 angels across the back of the room, and they're like 12, 15 feet tall. And I just see them across the back. And I'm like, "What is that?" And I don't know what to do with that. And so I just kind of saw that, and I'm like, "Lord, now, here's some advice. When God gives you something, ask Him what to do about it. Because He might not want you to say anything for 2 years. Okay? Or He may want you to go say it right then. Or He may just want you to be aware of something so that if something else comes up, you know how to respond. Okay? So I'm going to skip a lot of details. After the service, I wanted to go encourage the music guy. Because there was hardly anybody in this place, and this musician was amazing. And when I got up there, I realized that God showed me those angels because I'm going to tell Him about that, and that's going to encourage Him. And so I said, "Man, when you were playing music, there was 12 angels behind you. And so God's presence is here, and you're not doing this for nothing." And it really blessed him, okay? Now, when God gave me that discerning of spirits, it wasn't for me to be cool. It was for me to encourage that guy. So God, the Holy Spirit gave me something, and I expressed it, and someone got benefit from it. Okay, you see a pattern. Okay? I've had this same thing with demons. Like, you'll know there's a demon involved in something. Now, again, this is not by being paranoid and suspicious. You just know something, you don't know how you know it. And sometimes it's because I see it, sometimes it's I feel it, sometimes I just know it. Sometimes God just tells you. We're going to get into that stuff at the end of this class. So those are the revelation or the knowing gifts. Any question about any one of these three? Okay. Those are the easiest to explain, and you can see how those are going to apply to all the rest. You see the same principle working in all of them. So the next one is going to be the gifts where you say something. Speaking gifts, or the saying gifts. And this is prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Okay. So let's start with prophecy. Prophecy is when you speak under divine influence. That's the simplest definition I have found for that word. I mean, God wants you to say something, and when you say it, the fact of you saying it causes something to happen. So God gives you something to say, and when you say it, it kicks off something that you may or may not ever find out about. Like in the Bible, God would tell people to prophesy to something or to speak to something. And there's something in that. He wants something to be said so that that kicks off some process. Now, it's not our job to figure all that stuff out. Our job is just to be obedient. I'm going to give you an example of this from my life. And this was really one of the first experiences I had with the Holy Spirit like this after my wife was healed. I was at this church, and they had just had a staffing upheaval. And there was a lot of people upset. And so they called a worship night just to worship the Lord and to just get direction. But there was a lot of fear and worry that things were going to fall apart or something like that. And so I was in the back of the room, and I'm just sitting there worshiping the Lord, and I saw, it looked like a burst of light came in front of me, and this sentence popped out of it. And when that came out of it, I read it, and I was like shaken because of what it was saying. And I was like, that is amazing. And so I'm like, just, God, you are awesome. And then I started realizing, you want me to get up there and say that. And he's like, yes. I'm like, I don't want to do that. You see a pattern with that also? And so he turns up his dial. And so finally I go up there, and they let me have the microphone. And I said, this is what God wants to say to us. He wants to say, am I not enough? And I felt that right then when I just said it. When that came out of my mouth, the whole room was like, poof. And the worship people got on their knees, and they realized they had put all their faith in these people. And God, like, anyway, it helped correct our attitude, all of us, me included. Okay? Now, I didn't come up with that, and I didn't produce the effect. I just said the sentence. But when the sentence came out, it produced the effect he wanted. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Now, it doesn't always have to be coming in a burst of light. Sometimes you're talking to somebody and you say something, you're like, man, that was good. I need to write that down. I didn't come up with that. Anybody ever had that? Right. So I look at that as that's a operation of that. God's wanting you to say something and you say it and it produces an effect. Okay. So the Holy Spirit wants to communicate through people, and he gives you the message and you speak it, and it produces the effect he wants. Tongues and interpretation work very much the same way. Now notice that this is different kinds of tongues or diversities of tongues. This is separate from your prayer language you receive when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is different. Okay? I'm going to spend a whole night on that. So if you have questions on that, just hold them, because we're going to get all of those answered probably next week or the week after. Okay? But for now, this is when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to use your prayer language and speak out something. So he's initiating something. When you speak it out, you're going to be speaking a language that you don't know. And then he's going to give you or someone else present the interpretation of what was just said. Okay? Now, has anybody ever been in here when that's happened in here? Someone speaks in tongues. And if it's from God, usually what happens is God causes like a hush to come over the room. And that their voice can be louder and everybody can hear it. And then he will give someone else in the room the interpretation of what was just said. And the end result is that the Holy Spirit has spoken to his people through people. Okay? I've had this happen to me. I've been on both sides of that. I've also had more times than I want to admit where he wanted me to get up and do this and I just wouldn't do it, because I was chicken. Good news, if you're chicken, he doesn't stop prompting you. You're not disqualified for being chicken. Okay? But one night, it was actually a Spirit-Filled Living class about 4 years ago, and we have this recorded, but I'm teaching the class, and then all of a sudden, I felt like I'm supposed to pray for this guy in the back. And so I said, can I pray for you? Now, I didn't know what I was supposed to pray for, but God told me to pray for him, so I went over there. When I got to him, I still didn't know what to pray for. So I just said, do you mind if I pray in the Spirit a little bit? Praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues are synonymous terms. So I prayed in tongues for a minute, and I just said, God bless you. And I didn't know what that was all about, but I felt like I was supposed to do that. And so nothing happened, so I went back up, and I just continued teaching. Towards the end of the class, that guy raised his hand and asked a question. And as I'm answering it, someone else in the room says, you know what? I'm sorry, but when you prayed before, I got the interpretation, and here's what it was. And when he said it, that man started weeping, because it was a phrase from 10 years ago that somebody told him, or something. It was something from his past that was reminding him of something very... Were you there? Yeah. And so this illustrates another point, is that either person can chicken out. So just because someone gets up and speaks in tongues and no one has the interpretation, that doesn't mean it wasn't from God. That means somebody chickened out. All of us, I'm not declaring this over you, but don't be surprised if you chicken out a bunch of times. And don't feel guilty. God knows that. God knows we're learning to ride the bike. And remember that God works through flawed vessels, because that's all he has to choose from. Remember, if you don't deserve it, that's what makes you eligible. Don't ever forget that. You're never going to get to the point where you deserve what he's giving you. You're not supposed to deserve it. If you do, it's not grace anymore. All right. We've also had where different kinds of tongues came out, and I'm going to give an example just to show some of the variety, because in a group setting is not the only time that works, okay? And we don't ever want to put limits or a box around any of these, okay? Because again, as soon as you build a fence around the Holy Spirit, he's going to jump right out of it, and all you're left with is a fence, okay? So we don't want to do that. But one night we had a couple in our house. I've told this story a bunch of times because it still amazes me. And we're sitting there, and my wife felt like she was supposed to pray for the lady. And so she starts praying for her, and she starts praying in tongues, and it's different than she's... I mean, speaking in tongues is weird in the first place, but this was, like, really weird. And it went on for a long time. And I was sitting there thinking, man, what is this? But I trust my wife. And so at some point, she was like, whew, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. And then she sat down. And that girl said, now the girl grew up in Cuba. And she said, when you were doing that, you were speaking in Spanish and talking to me about my childhood. Now my wife doesn't speak Spanish. And I took enough Spanish to, I don't know it. Okay, I took it in high school. I can say burrito, but I don't. But it didn't sound like Spanish. But when it came out, by the time it left her mouth and got to her ear, it was Spanish. And it blessed her a lot. And so we're all sitting there with our jaws hanging up. We're like, this is amazing. Because my wife just got, she knows this, and she just got up and went for it. Now, she told me later that when she started praying for her, she wanted to pray in English. But every time she started praying, it came out in a different language. And so finally, she just gave up and just said, Lord, you can do whatever you want to, and just went at it. Okay? So that's an example, Holy Spirit giving something to somebody so that someone else gets a benefit. Okay. Questions on the speaking gifts? I'm trying to be very general here. Great. Okay. The last one is, now all of these are doing and all of these are power, but I call these the power or the doing gifts. Okay. And these are faith, gifts of healings and working of miracles. Okay? I'm sorry for those of you in the back. My handwriting gets worse and worse the more excited I get. So, again, let's talk about these. These are all temporary bursts of power or ability to meet a need or overcome an obstacle. So the gift of faith is not the faith that you have every day as you walk around. That's not the faith that you believed in Jesus to get saved. This is a temporary mustard seed of the kind of faith God has. Okay? Now, it's hard to think about God having faith, but I'm going to use a very silly illustration to kind of make the point. When in the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," he wasn't worried that it wasn't going to work and that he would be embarrassed in front of all the angels. But he knew that what he said was going to happen. Okay? And when the gift of faith is on you, that's how you're going to be acting. And I will tell you from experience, you feel like Superman. You feel like it doesn't matter what happens. I can run right through that wall. It doesn't matter. Okay? And then a couple hours later, when that lifts off of you, you're going to be sitting there going, I can't believe I just did that. That's how you know it was a gift of the Spirit, because it's not something you would normally do. Okay? Example of this from my life. I don't know how to make this shorter. This is a long story, but let me skip to the part because I don't want to take up all of our time. I got something wrong in my scalp. I went to the doctor. The doctor told me it was shingles. And I don't know if you've ever had that, but that is not fun at all, especially in your scalp. And so he showed me this book of like how this stuff would come down your face. Like it was just, don't play around with this. You need to go get your prescription. So I left out of his office and I had my prescription and I called my wife and I said, Teresa, I got a prescription. He said, this is shingles and I'm supposed to go get this prescription. It'll go away in about 2 weeks. So I hung up the phone and before I got to my car, my phone rang again and my wife had called me back, but this time it was my wife under the gift of faith. And she said, you do not go get that medicine. God's going to heal that. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm not quoting her verbatim, but that's the content of what she was saying. And when it came out of the phone, I knew this was from God. And so I hung up my phone and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to go get the medicine. This was Thursday. I went home that night and we were both freaking out because the gift had lifted off of her. And she's like, what have I done? You can imagine. This can be horrible if I don't take the medicine. And even with the medicine, it takes 2 weeks. And here we are. Are we being irresponsible? But I believe God. Well, we went to our small group that night, and we're sitting in the room, and this girl just got up in the middle of the meeting and came over to me, and she said, Neil, God says to you that if you will believe him, he will do what he said. Now, she didn't know what I was going through, but she got a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. God told her that to encourage me. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm not getting the medicine and God's going to heal me. So I get up the next day, Friday, and it's worse. And then Saturday, it's even worse. And Sunday, it's even worse. And then Monday, it's almost all gone. And Tuesday, it's totally gone. And my next doctor appointment was Tuesday. And I went into the doctor and he was like, wow, that is amazing medicine. I said, I didn't take the medicine. And I told him what I just told y'all. And he's a Christian, but he was like, well, he didn't know what to do with that. But I got healed and I didn't take the medicine. I got healed from the gift of faith coming on my wife. And I know it's temporary because we were both freaking out 30 minutes later. Okay? Is that making sense, everybody? It's temporary. But when it's on you, you just cooperate by faith and amazing things happen that you're not in charge of. Okay. Gifts of healings. So last week we talked about how every believer is commissioned to operate in healing. Okay. And this is going to be covered a lot more. I'm going to spend a whole night just on healing because there's different ways that healings come. One of the ways is by exercising the authority that Jesus gave to all of his children that we talked about last week. But another way is when the Holy Spirit does something outside of the normal and some healing just happens. So this one's hard to define. But I look at this as a healing that's God initiated, usually through one of the other gifts of the Spirit. Like he would have someone call out, someone's got a really bad migraines. And the person gets healed right out in the crowd without anybody praying for them. Okay? I had one time, we were talking about healing, and a person came up to me at the end of class and said, yes, can you pray for my back? And I said, well, where's the pain? And so she was like, it's all gone. And she was healed and all sitting through class. I've had that multiple times, okay? I don't understand how to get these to happen, but when they're on, you just cooperate and enjoy the benefits of them. That makes sense to everybody. Same thing with working of miracles. That's when the Holy Spirit moves upon you in some way, and when you cooperate with him, the laws of physics are overcome. So this is like Jesus walking on the water or multiplying the provision of the fish and the loaves. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? That doesn't mean I go and learn how to work miracles. That means when the Holy Spirit puts that on me and I cooperate, miracles are going to happen. Any questions on these nine gifts before I move into the next part of this? When God moves upon you and you cooperate, I don't have a concise definition for this. I'm still working on that. But the general idea is the way that all of these others work, God moves on you, and when you cooperate with Him, the laws of physics are overcome, or the laws of nature. I'm trying to think of one of those. Yep. Yep. That's the next thing. But that's a great question. We're going to spend some time on that part of it. I'm trying to think of the closest thing I've ever been to seeing this. We got asked to go pray for this guy who had had brain surgery, and he had had a third of his skull removed. And it was me and my wife and another friend of ours. And he was in a coma, and he had been in the coma for so long that they were about to move him from the hospital into a place for people that don't come out of the coma. And that was coming up pretty soon. We didn't know the man, but his wife called, and we went to go pray for him. And when we walked in the room, we saw him sitting there, and I had never seen anything that looked like that before. And it was just hard to stay in the room. There was so much fear in there. And the lady that we was with, God had told her to go up to his face, even though he's unconscious, and say to him, "You're going to get up, you're going to walk, you're going to tell your wife you love her, you're going to dance, you're going to see your children." All this, she said all these things that God told her to say. And then she was supposed to blow on his face. Now that's weird, right? And it's really weird when you see the condition this person's in. And so we did that, and nothing happened, okay, that we knew of. And so we left, and that was on a Thursday night. I think on Easter Sunday, was that Sunday? The woman called, and the guy woke up and was already walking. Fast forward, he's swimming and stuff now. This is a couple years later. But God had us go. So they were going to, the hospital was giving up on him, and God sent us in there to do something bizarre, and either a gift of healing or working of miracles or both happened. Okay? That's awesome. I mean, there's nothing like this stuff. And when you do these, God uses you in these, you know it's not you. And you're like, "And I know I don't deserve this. This is amazing." And it makes you love God more. Okay? Yes.
Oh, I was just going to ask, so say that person chickened out, then is it gone? Or would he give that gift to someone else?
I've been where he gives it to someone else. Yes. And to me, that seems like how he's trying to find someone that's going to cooperate with him. Yep. That's a fantastic question. Thank you. All right, so now let's move into some of the ways that this information can come to you. Some of the ways the Holy Spirit communicates with you. Now again, I'm going to be very general here, and I'm going to group this into four really big categories. Okay, these are some of the main ways that the Holy Spirit will give information to you. You will see something. You will hear something. You will know something. Or you will feel something. Okay? And normally, He communicates with each one of us. Like with me, there's one that He does most of the time. But He has done all four of these with me, and I'm assuming that's the same for everybody. There's one where He talks to you that way the most, but He talks to you in all of these ways and other ways that I don't have listed. Okay? I'm going to start with C. So when God, this is how it works with me, and it may be similar for you, or maybe you can identify with this. God gave us our imagination. And when I say imagination, I mean it's your mind's ability to entertain images. Okay? For example, if I asked you, What did you eat for lunch today? For a lot of people, a picture comes up in your mind right there. You're looking at what you had for lunch. Or if I said, what's in the back seat of your car? You picture that in your head. Does that make sense? That function of your mind that God gave you is one of the ways He will show you things. He will show you a picture in your mind. And when that happens to me, it's like I'm remembering something that hasn't happened yet. Like if I remember something and I know what that looks like, well, he's using that same part of my mind to give me information that I didn't have before.
Okay. Like a deja vu kind of experience?
Not for me. It's more like I'm going about my business and then I'm seeing Psalm 103. I'm like, what's up with that? I'm not thinking about Psalm 103, but I'm seeing the verse on the page. Okay? A lot of times when I will have a word of knowledge for someone for healing, I will see I'll see the outline of someone doing like this. And I'll know there's somebody here whose right shoulder is messed up. And it's like I'm remembering that image. It's very hard to articulate this. But it's like you're remembering something that didn't happen yet. Okay? Or it's like your imagination is like a TV screen, and normally you're playing stuff on there, but God plugs in His input and puts something on there that it interrupts your thought. That's another way to recognize it. Now, sometimes you can see it right out in the open. And sometimes I will see, like I'm talking to somebody and I see something around them or something on them. Okay? Now, this is not to scare. This is always for people's benefit. Okay? Like one of the ones He does with me a lot is like when I'm teaching a class and then someone will raise their hand and they'll speak up. And when they start speaking up, like I'll see like light and kind of power radiating off of them. And I know through experience that at some point I'm supposed to go tell them that God has put authority on their voice. And that always blesses them. Okay? I don't know why I know that. I just know that. Okay? When they start talking, I see that kind of coming off of them. After I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, one of the biggest, this is the way He works with me the most in seeing, is that when I come to teach, He told me not to prepare and don't bring notes, don't make notes, don't prepare. Because He's going to show me what to do and what to draw in the moment. So when I get up in front of people here or on a Sunday morning, I am drawing the pictures He's showing me. Okay? To the best that I can. That doesn't mean I always do it right. I'm learning how to cooperate just like the rest of us. And when I'm talking and I'll know where the Bible verse is, it's because I see it. It's like He has this bunch of index cards, and when I need a Bible verse, He flips it up in there, and I can see it. Now, I didn't ask Him for that. I don't know how that works, but it works. Okay? Yes?
What about dreams?
Dreams would be another way of seeing, yes. I would put that under there. Lots of communication from God through dreams in the Bible. That's very biblical. God talking to people through dreams. So hopefully that's just a general idea about seeing. So hearing. Now this is the one that He doesn't do with me. This is the least that He does with me is when I hear something. Now this would be either you hear an audible voice or you hear a sentence in your mind. Okay, you hear it like someone speaking something inside of you. Like if I asked you to count from 1 to 10 in your head right now. So like you're hearing that in your mind. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. Okay, so you would hear something, but you know you didn't come up with that. Now, when you're getting this kind of communication that's not coming from you, I would encourage you to say, does that sound like something God would say? Is that going to bless somebody? Is that love? And if it is, that's probably God. Something amazing that you didn't think of that's going to help people is probably God. And as you first get started doing this, my attitude used to be that I did not want to make a mistake. So I would pray, God, is that you? Is that you? Is that you? And I would wait for Him to give me some kind of sign. But a lot of times, that's just me being chicken. Because all 9 gifts of the Spirit is going to require you to do something you're unsure about. That's because it's faith They all work by faith. He gives you some information, and you say, "This, I think this is you, Lord. I'm going for it." That's fine. That's like Peter getting out of the boat. You're going to trust that water is going to hold you up. I've had so many times, and this usually lately happens on a Sunday morning, where we're in here worshiping, and all of a sudden God will start highlighting somebody in the room to me, and I know that I'm supposed to go pray for them. And then sometimes he starts filling up my arms full of lead, like my arms get so heavy. But I don't know what in the world I'm supposed to pray for. And so finally I'll walk over and say, "Can I pray for you?" And usually it's somebody I know. And they'll say, "Sure." And I say, "Well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to pray. Is it okay if I pray in the Spirit?" And they'll say, "Yeah." Because I always want to be respectful. And then sometimes I would, if it's a man, I would put my hand on his chest and on his back. And I start praying for them and they just start shaking. And I don't know what's going on. But God's doing something to them. And then he'll tell me a couple things to say. And I'll find out later, like, that's what they had been praying about all morning. Like, I don't know. There's no way I can make that stuff up. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I supposed to go to, yeah, let's go see what happens. Make sense to everybody? Okay, so hearing would be, now does anybody here feel like this is the way God communicates with them the most? Like through hearing? Yeah? Did I do a good way of explaining that? Does that sound about right? Like you're hearing a sentence in your head, but it's not you doing it. Okay. Knowing is when you just know something and you don't know how you knew it. You just know it in your bones. You know, I am supposed to do that, or I am not supposed to do that, or for some reason I know that person is struggling with this and God wants to help them, or I know I'm supposed to give so-and-so some money. I don't know how I know. So like with my wife and I, sometimes she'll say, God will tell both of us that we're supposed to give somebody $300. And so we'll ask her, has God been talking to you about so-and-so? Yeah. Is there a number? Yeah. What is it? $300. Okay, that's the number I got. Okay, and we do it. Right? And we don't know what it's for. And when we give it to them, it's a gift. And whatever they do with that, it's not up to me. Right? But God wanted them to have that $300 or that $1,000 or $20 or whatever it is. Okay? We just knew it. I didn't read a book. I didn't research it. I didn't look who needs $300. God knows somebody needs $300. Okay? I need $300. Just kidding. Feel. So this is usually when either you're going to get a physical sensation on your body somehow, or you're going to feel some emotions that are not coming from you. Okay? So let me talk about the first one, you feeling something on your body. Sometimes a word of knowledge for healing will come because God will make some part of my body, I'll start feeling a little bit of the pain that someone else is feeling. And I'll say, "Is something wrong with your knee?" I'll say, "Yeah." Like he's telling me. Or, are you having a headache? Like, because I felt a headache coming up. Okay? Does that make sense right there, what I just said? Like he's giving you a little, just enough to get you to ask the question. Okay? Or you walk in somewhere and all of a sudden anxiety, you start feeling anxiety. You're detecting anxiety in the room. God's letting your radar work. And so you can pray against that anxiety or that fear or whatever it is. Okay, that's another way that feeling can work. It's not coming through a picture or hearing or knowing. You actually feel the emotion you're supposed to intercede against or for. Okay, or maybe you just all of a sudden feel all this compassion for somebody and it doesn't make any sense. Because God wants to show compassion to that person or mercy. Okay. So those are the four very general categories of ways the Holy Spirit will communicate with you just in your life, but also that's how these gifts of the Spirit come, usually through one of these or something similar. Any questions or comments on any of these? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's lots of imaginations coming through my mind that are not from God. And those are either from my own failure to renew my mind, or they're coming from the enemy trying to tempt me with something, right? So I don't, like, God's not going to make me be rude to somebody. Like, I'm seeing me being rude to the cashier. That's not from God, right? Or I'm feeling like dominating somebody. That's not from God. Or controlling somebody, or whatever. So that same movie screen of your imagination that you play movies on and that God has access to, somehow in a way that I don't understand, the enemy has that stuff in there too. Okay? So when you're just because you're getting a picture, an image, I always weigh it about, is that biblical? Does that line up with, would Jesus do something like that? Is that how Jesus would act? Is that how God would act? Is that God's love on display when I do that? Is that exhortation? Is that encouraging someone to rise up? Because God's not in the business of beating people down. He's in the business of lifting people up. Like, God wants all of His children to be amazing and excellent. So if I'm saying something that goes along with that, that's from God. Now, again, I'm not putting Him in a box. And if He wants to bring correction to somebody, and He's been warning them for 42 years about something and they're not listening, then He can bring a strong word through somebody. Because it's just like a parent not wanting their kid to play in the street. Like, you have to listen to this. Okay? So, sometimes, but that's still love, even though it might sound harsh in the moment. Okay? Again, I want to be very careful that I'm not putting limits on any of this stuff. But in general, if you just want to judge it by, does this sound biblical, godly, loving, then just go for it. Yes?
I'm just thinking about using discernment too, as far as receiving things from people too.
Great point.
When you get something from someone, it could be something that maybe you're praying about, but maybe it's like more on, you don't realize it or whatever, it's on more of a flesh level.
Yes.
Sometimes someone will come up and confirm that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Always have to, you know, bring it before the Lord to say, is that from you?
Yep.
You know, just always test the Spirit.
That is a fantastic point. So I'm going to repeat that and kind of stay on that for a minute. So if I'm the one receiving the gift from the Lord to express it to somebody, then my responsibility is to act in faith and represent God the best I'm able to. Now, if someone else has got a word and they're giving it to me, my responsibility is to weigh that against Scripture, weigh that against what I know about Jesus, what I know about God's character, right? Because I can't expect other people to be perfect when I know I'm not. That's not fair. Okay? Does that make sense? And so, especially when I'm the one running the meeting, we are going to err on the side of liberty. And I would rather people swing at the ball and miss than be too scared to swing the bat. Okay? But in a few minutes, I'm going to give us a chance to see if the Holy Spirit wants to do some of this stuff. And when we do, the speaker, whoever he has say something, your responsibility is just to do the best you can. I think the Lord is saying this. And everybody else in the room, our responsibility is to say, well, Lord, if that's from you, I receive it. But if it's not, I don't. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Because sometimes someone will come up and tell me, the Lord told me this for you, and I know it wasn't the Lord. But I'm not mad at them. They're just taking baby steps too. Okay. We need to have maturity and liberty, and also the same grace I've received, I want to have that for other people. That's a great, great point. Now, a lot of times a word from the Lord will confirm something that's been in your heart that you haven't told anyone. And the reason that word comes is to help you be more sure about it. And it is amazing. It is so amazing when that happens. It is so comforting and encouraging when someone comes up and tells you something that's been in your heart for so long and you thought it was you and it was God. Okay? There's nothing like it. Sometimes someone will come and give me a word, and I don't know what to do with it, so I just write it down and I'll say, Lord, if that's from you, I'm looking forward to that. And if not, that's fine. No big deal. Okay? That makes sense? So just because it doesn't mean anything right now, that doesn't mean it is from the Lord or not. And if you're in that situation, I just say, just write that down somewhere, and if it's from the Lord, and it'll happen. If not, they were just trying. Okay? Make sense? That's a great question. Any other questions or comments? It's okay to ask questions. Yes, sir.
I want to take a leap of faith, okay?
Yeah.
I feel like I was supposed to bring somebody to this meeting.
Okay.
And God keeps telling me, yes, you were.
Okay.
And you keep talking about it.
Yeah.
And I know this person's had a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And they're fighting medication. And they reached out for help.
Uh-huh.
And it's a person I knew a long time ago.
Okay.
And he's sitting beside me.
All right.
And
thank you for coming, by the way.
All the way from Mexico.
Wow. That's a long drive.
Cancun.
Okay.
He didn't drive before.
Okay.
But certain situations have happened to where he says, I'm reaching out to you, I need help.
Okay.
God sees that.
Yeah.
And he's telling me to tell him everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Everything's going to work out. And I feel him on me now because I'm burning.
Well, tell him. And mean it.
God's telling me that everything's going to be okay and all the medications that you haven't taken will go away where you don't have to have them anymore. And he sees you hurting.
That's amazing.
That's why you're here.
Thank you, Jesus.
I didn't know why you were supposed to come. I said, it's kind of a weird situation, and yet you're here, and that's the reason for it.
Okay.
He keeps telling me that's the reason.
Well, let's all agree together. Father, everything you just spoke, all that's going to happen. Your good will is going to come to pass. Lord, we just bless them, Lord. We bless them. Lord, I thank you for that good word. I thank you that your word is true. And when it gets spoken out, that's what kickstarts the process. So I thank you all that's going to be fulfilled. And we just bless them, Lord. We bless them. We bless them, Lord. I pray for blessings in his physical body, in his mind, his emotions. Lord, we just bless his finances. We bless all of his relationships. We just speak a blessing over him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so now this is where we're going to try to ride the bike. All right? Every time I do these exercises at the end of class, it's always voluntary. Nobody has to participate, and if you don't want to stick around, you don't have to. That's fine. But what we're going to do right now is I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and if you want to participate, just repeat after me. And we're going to tell the Holy Spirit that we're available, and if He wants to speak to us, we want to hear it. And then I'm going to wait probably a good 2 or 3, 5 minutes, something like that. And if you feel like God is telling you something, here's how I want you to say it. Say, I feel like God is saying this, or I think God is saying that keeps you safe. You're not saying, Neil, this is from God. You're saying, I feel like God's saying this, okay? Because none of us are experts, okay? And you have freedom to speak out, and I encourage you, if you're not sure, just go for it, because we're all in here taking responsibility to receive it or not from the Lord, okay? And if you miss it, God still loves you, and join the club because everybody else has to. All right? All right, so for everyone that wants to participate, just repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I'm open. I want to hear from you. I want to be used by you. So we welcome your ministry. We invite you to speak to us and make yourself known to us. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So let's just all stay right here with our head bowed for a few minutes.